It doesn't take very much experience of the scriptures to realize that there are some passages that are precious because they're so consoling and enlightening, and there are some passages that are precious because they're so disconcerting, they're so almost shocking. They throw us off. Sunday we had one of those in Sunday's gospel where Jesus spoke about hating our loved ones and even ourselves, hating ourselves and taking up our cross and renouncing all our possessions. I read in Bishop Barron's commentary on that, he said that passage is like a slap in the face. Slap in the face gospel. Well, today's readings do something similar. In today's gospel, we read these four beatitudes and four woes, and they're completely opposite of what we usually think and how we normally live. We're blessed when we're poor and hungry and unpopular, and woe to us if we have comforts and securities and popularity here. Woe to us because what we will have in the future is a cause for grief. And then another reversal is in today's first reading, where Paul is talking to the Corinthians and he says, well, all you who you're longing to get married, well, just stay as you are. And all of those you who are married, those of you who are married and you would like to separate, no, just stay as you are. Well, that's exactly what people don't want. And then he has this whole list of how we are to behave because the time is running out. Those who have wives act as if they don't have wives. Those who are weeping as if they're not weeping. Rejoicing as if you're not rejoicing. It throws us all off. What is he trying to do with our minds here? He's completely overturning all our values and all our ways of thinking. He concludes with a line, which I think is very important. For the world in its present form is passing away. The world in its present form is passing away. As soon as we hear it, we say, well, that's obviously true. There's no disputing that. The world in its present form is passing away, including our own bodies pass away. That's not under dispute. The question is, how are we supposed to live if this is the way it is? If the world in its present form is passing away, well then, now what are we supposed to do? A couple of days ago, a friend of mine sent me a little video. Maybe you saw this one. It was a TikTok video. And the headline on it said, listen to this man all the way to the end. He's really correct. And then, so that was the video, but then my friend who sent it to me put at the bottom, live for God and live with God. So I said, well, he often sends me inspirational messages, so I thought this is going to be an inspirational message, and the message is going to come at the end. So I tapped on the little thing, and it starts this. It's only about 2 or 3 minutes, and here's a man, an American. He's standing in some kind of a church, and he's walking around, and he says, let me tell you what will happen after your funeral. Have you seen this video? Maybe it's not that popular, but anyway. So here's the man, he says, let me tell you what will happen after your funeral. And then he goes into describing what will happen. Well, people, they'll stop crying after a little while. By the end of the day, they're not crying anymore. They're worried about what they're going to eat, and then your relatives will be hosting their guests. And after that, people will go home. They'll get up the next day and go on to work. And in a few days, even your own children and grandchildren will go on to work and back to school. And in a couple of weeks, even your wife or your husband will, be able to laugh again. And then your boss will find someone to replace you at work. And he goes on like this, very, very straightforward and absolutely true description of what happens after our funeral. He says after, a few months, people won't think about you at all, and maybe on your first death anniversary, they'll have a party in your honor. Then a few years later, someone might see an old photograph and remember, oh yeah, I know who that was. And then a few years after that, almost nobody will think of you at all. And he says, in a blink of an eye, nobody's going to think about you. And that's the way he does this for 2 minutes. So, but without, not trying to be particularly negative and not making a joke out of it, just saying it straight. And so that's it. You know, if that's the way it's going to be, if everyone's going to forget you eventually. And then at the very end, and this is the conclusion, he says, now, since that's the way it's going to be, why are you spending so much of your time and energy concerned about what people think of you? They don't, he says. They don't. They don't think of you. So live your life for you. That was the end of it. Live your life for you. I was stunned. Live your life for you. That's his conclusion after all these very true, clear, logical statements. He says, live your life for you. I felt like, you ever carry a heavy object? Like sometimes I carry those 5 gallon water jugs. You know, they're heavy. You walk with them for a while and you put them up on the shelf and say, well, that's where that belongs. What if you carry one of those and all of a sudden you drop it and it breaks open and the water spills out all over yourself? That's not supposed to happen. That's not where that that's not where that is supposed to lead. Imagine this man saying, and part of the reason why I was so stunned is because my friend who sent it to me said, live your life for God and with God, which is what I kind of expected the man to say. And when he said, live your life for you, he said, that's his conclusion. How would you like to live with a man like that? How would you like to be his wife? Here's a man who is saying to everybody in the world, anyone who ever watches his video, because you're going to forget me, I'm just going to live for myself. You're going to forget about me, so I'm going to make my whole life about myself. I can't imagine a more miserable way of living. Who would want to do that to himself? I said, and why would he make this video? Then I realized, even he himself is not living by his own principle. He's not living for himself. He thinks he's helping someone with his message. And that means he's not just living for himself. Because otherwise he wouldn't bother making that video. He wouldn't bother doing anything for anybody. Live your life for you. Exactly the wrong answer. The worst decision you can make is to make your whole life about yourself. Because what happens when you do that is you close off the whole horizon of your life down onto yourself and you live in a very dark, small prison. I think this is why my friend sent it to me with the caption, live your life for God and with God. As if to say, here are the two options. Here are the two options. Either you live for yourself and that's all you've got. And when you die, not only will everyone else forget you, but you don't have anything either. No God, no relationships, no love. Either that's one option. The other option, live for God. Now, I would add, and for others, because the two great commandments, love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. What happens when we love God and love our neighbor is that the horizon of our life is wide open. And the very reason why we are created can come to fulfillment. This is, I think, a good way of understanding these readings. Today, when St. Paul is saying, don't be so concerned about making a change, you know, live as you are, because the world in its present form is passing away. He's saying, don't put yourself in the middle of your life. Don't put your earthly concerns at the center of your life, because it's going to pass away. He's saying, live for God. And even the big decisions you make about whether you marry or not, or how you regard your own marriage, or what you do about your weeping and your rejoicing, your buying and your selling, that, yes, that's our daily activity, and we have to go on with our daily life, and that's how we serve and love. But those things are not the center. They're just the means by which we progress, the means by which we express love. What good is buying and selling if it's not going to benefit anybody, if it's only for ourselves? Why bother? It's going to pass away anyway. And I think Jesus is saying something similar here. You know, blessed are you who are poor, you who are hungry, you're weeping. Why? Why are you blessed when you're weeping? It doesn't make any sense. Why does he say, woe to you who are rich and are laughing? If you're rich and you're laughing and everybody speaks well of you, the danger is you will think that your life is complete and that you are at the center of your life. The danger is you might live only for yourself without being aware that that's a dead-end life. So that's a really dangerous way to live. Rich, filled, laughing, and popular. It's appealing for the moment, but what happens when your riches pass away and your satisfactions pass away and your popularity passes away? Then what do you have? Nothing. Why are we blessed if we are poor, hungry, weeping, and hated? Because when we're poor, we are aware of our need. We're aware that there's something more, there must be something more in life. If we are hungry, we are longing for a satisfaction we do not yet have. Now, of course, it's easy to satisfy physical hunger. Just eat. Have a bowl of rice and you won't be hungry anymore. That's not the deepest hunger, of course. So our hunger is a way to move us beyond ourselves. Weeping, if we're weeping, it's because something is not right. Something is missing. Something is unjust, or there's some real cause for sadness that moves us to want a correction. And that's where love takes us. If we're not weeping, if we're completely satisfied with life in this broken, messed up, unjust world, there's something deeply wrong with us. Now, it doesn't mean you can never laugh. Of course we can laugh. Of course we can eat, and we should. And we should console one another, and we should love one another. But if we're living only for eating, or if we're living only for satisfying our temporal longings, we're pathetic. We're actually miserable. So I think this, disconcerting or troubling type of reading is very helpful for us, because it puts before us, just like that man in that little video, the truth of our situation. Clear, logical, true statements. But then it also, unlike the video, helps us understand, well then, how should we live now? Because the world in its present form is passing away, we should not live for this world or for ourselves. Live for God and with God. Live for others and with others. Love God, love your neighbor. It's the best way to live. It's the way that leads to the deepest fulfillment and the greatest happiness.